From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today we continue our trek through the Gospel of Matthew. The last time we were in Matthew chapter 3, and you may recall that we considered these incredibly epic words where Matthew says that after Jesus had been baptized, he comes up out of the water, the heavens are opened, he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice comes from heaven which says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here we have a picture, a poignant picture of the Trinity. One God revealed in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and those persons eternally distinct. So again, here we have a picture of the triadic one. And we should never take this for granted. If you were a Muslim, you would have to commit yourself to a Unitarian God, a God that is morally defective. I say that because absent the universe, a Unitarian God has no one to love. There was a time in which God spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Well, then there's something to love. He creates Adam and Eve. But prior, and I use those terms before and after and prior loosely, but prior to that time, a Unitarian God would have no one to love. A Trinitarian God, however, exists in love relationship. The Father loves the Son loves the Father and the Son love the Holy Spirit. Eternal love relationships. And part of the great message of salvation, the quintessence of that message, is that you and I are brought into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Son, the fellowship of the Father, the fellowship of the triadic one. We can experience that fellowship. In fact, we're created to experience that fellowship. Well, now we get into Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, you shall give his angels charge over you, and it's also written, in their hands They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I want to stop there, but think about just that for a moment. The devil leaves, and angels come and minister to Jesus. And I emphasize that because when we resist the devil and he flees, we also have the privilege of receiving ministering beings that are angelic, powerful beings that minister to us as the saints in the kingdom. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, we come to the ultimate spiritual battle. Jesus is alone here. He's hungry. And Satan is poised. He is ready to strike. Think about this for a moment. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if you've ever done that. But if you could do that, you would be very hungry. And so is Jesus. Remember, he's one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. Jesus took on our humanity. Jesus emptied himself. In his emptying, in his kenosis is our filling. But Jesus was hungry. And because he was hungry, he was in a state of vulnerability. Moreover, he was also, as St. Matthew points out, he was also in the very wilderness in which the Israelites had been tempted. The Israelites had proven disloyal to the will and the word of God. But Jesus was completely committed to the will and the purposes of his heavenly Father. Well, sensing the vulnerability of Jesus, because Jesus was hungry, the tempter seizes upon the physical hunger of our Lord and says, If you are the Son of God, well, if you really are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. You can almost hear the hiss of the serpent. Well, Jesus could have responded in a lot of different ways. He could have unveiled his divine glory, sort of a glimpse of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he didn't. What Jesus did was take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He had memorized and mined, and he knew the Word of God. He had committed himself to the Word of God. And so he rebuffs Satan with the very words of Scripture. Well, Satan isn't done. Satan next transports Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. And there he says, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, Jesus could have routed Satan with 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we continue this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we'll come to the desperation of Satan. He's not done. He has yet one more temptation. As we go to break, remember that we are tempted as well, and that this passage, therefore, has transcendent importance for you and I. Be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Nonstop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Again, we are in Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about the ultimate spiritual battle. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, sensing vulnerability, the devil. He seizes the moment and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Well, Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. He takes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then Satan transports Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot, not so much as strike your foot against a stone. Again, Jesus could have routed Satan with legions of angels, but he took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, in desperation now, the devil takes the Lord to the summit of a high mountain, and he shows him the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor, intoxicating. And then he says, all this I will give you if you fall down, if you'll bow down to me, if you'll worship me. Well, Jesus, again, could have blinded the devil with the brilliance of his intellect, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, the takeaway for you and I is quite simple. As Jesus armed himself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we must arm ourselves in that same fashion. If we are merely armed with the puny sword of our intellect, our reason, well, I can tell you this. We stand impotent in that fashion before an arch fiend, one who has studied us thoroughly. He's intimately acquainted with all of our vulnerabilities. I want to say this real quickly. Think about Satan for a second. Here is an angelic being, the quintessence of angelic beings. And he has not just a lifetime, but he has existed for the entire lifespan of humanity. He knows our vulnerabilities, and he is equipped to seize upon them. And therefore, if we try to rebuff Satan with our own, well, cleverness, our own intellect, we're impotent. But if we're armed with the sword of the Spirit, we're a terror to Satan, and we can stand strong in the face of his fiercest temptations. It's absolutely absurd to think of being a Christian without the knowledge of God's Word, without the skill to use the Word of God in spiritual warfare. We must ever be mindful that the Word of God was not forged by human hands, but forged by the Spirit of God. So it is the Spirit of God that gives the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, its edge. And he alone can teach us how to rightly use us. It's not enough to have the Word of God in our homes, hold the Word of God in our hands, you know, carry it to church, oftentimes say we can go to church color coordinated with our Bibles, because we have so many Bibles today. It's not enough to have it in our homes or in our hands. We must learn to deftly wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on the battlefield of life. The ultimate spiritual battle. You have Satan, the deceiver, quoting an Old Testament passage. And then he doesn't leave it there. He takes the passage and he contextualizes it with a seductive suggestion. But Jesus knows the Word of God, and therefore he immediately restores order. He does it by harmonizing Satan's pretext. I often say a text out of context is a pretext. He harmonizes Satan's pretext with the rest of Scripture, with the context of Scripture. And as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I have to be prepared to follow this example. It's not given to us as extraneous reading. It's given to us as an example. In the ultimate spiritual battle, Jesus takes up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He had mind, meditated, memorized the Scripture. He knew the Word of God, and thus when the slanderer tries to tempt the Savior to turn stones into bread, Jesus was well prepared. And again, prepared with the Word of God, saying, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In a sense, Jesus is telling us that the Word of God is food. It's food for the soul. That's why we fast, by the way. We fast because we want to feast on God as opposed to feasting on food. We want to feed the non-corporeal aspect of our humanity. Well, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness reminds us of the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Hebrews, where he says that we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus could sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in the desert. He was hungry. Again, one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. In his humanity, he was tempted in all points, just as we are tempted. And yet without sin. Which begs a question I have been frequently asked on this Bible Answer Man broadcast. James, the brother of our Lord and the first bishop of Jerusalem, tells us that God cannot be tempted by evil. And yet here in Matthew chapter 4, we're informed that in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by evil. He was tempted by the evil one himself. So how could Jesus be tempted? Could he be tempted? Or couldn't he be tempted? Well, the short answer to that question is simply this. In saying God cannot be tempted by evil, St. James is focused on the ineffability of God. God is, he's the self-sufficient sovereign of the universe, and as such, he has no unmet needs. Conversely, St. Matthew, in his account of Jesus' wilderness temptation, is focused on the incarnation. The incarnation of God. In incarnation, the Son experiences all of the essential physical and psychological needs commensurate with our humanity. And that, of course, includes hunger, fatigue, the desire for self-preservation. Thus, the biblical truths that the ineffable God cannot be tempted, and yet God incarnate was tempted, are complementary, not contradictory truths. And we find this over and over again in the Word of God, this tension. I often say we live in this tension. We live in the land of antinomy, where we have two truths. They seem contradictory, but if we know the whole of Scripture, then we see that they are also reconciled within the panoply of God's eternal Word. Well, on the next broadcast, we will pick up not only with the temptation, but we will go on with Jesus preaching a gospel of repentance in much the same fashion as John the Baptist did. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the resource that caches a lot of this out, particularly with respect to spiritual warfare, is a book that I've written called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It's available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So once again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing with us and allowing this ministry to go out around the world. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.